I like Pastor Joe. Y'all like Pastor Joe? He's all right. We'll keep him around. My brother got to look so fresh, too. Go on vacation, come back looking fresh. Dang. Hey, I'm glad you guys are here today, man. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Hey, I don't know why you came today, but I do know it's a good thing you came here today. We were talking a little bit about it last week, but you know, the reason you come to church determines what you leave with from church. Now, I don't know how you feel about church. I don't know if it's your thing or maybe it's not your thing. Maybe it's just the thing that your mom makes you go to. But I do know this, is that if you have the right reason, if you get yourself situated where this is the reason why I come to church, then I guarantee you, you leave with what you came looking for, right? Like if you come to church, you're like, yeah, I don't know. Then what you leave with is, yeah, I don't know. But if you came like, I'm hungry for God, then you leave filled, and you'll be better off for it. You'll be better off for it. So today, hey, if you don't know why you came to church, or maybe you came for some other reason, today let's situate yourself and let's go ahead and say, today I came to get something from Jesus, and you'll be all right. You'll be A-okay today. I guarantee it. So we've been talking the past couple weeks on a little thing called identity. And because of that, maybe you're thinking, well, look, I don't know who you are. Maybe it's your first time. Well, let me share with you my identity. I'm Pastor Richard. I'm Richard Dean of Villanueva Jr. That's right. I said it, the whole name. You know I mean business now. And I'm the youth pastor at the church. Been around here for a million years before you were born. Oh, that's right. I was here 20 years. Can you believe it? I'm that old, 20 years. Today, I just want to share with you a couple things. So if you don't mind, since we're in church, I'd like to have church so you can leave and be the church. So let us pray. Shall we pray? Yeah. Thank you, Natalie. I appreciate the enthusiasm. Wonderful. Maybe you got my vote. We'll see. I don't know. I can't share that news. Oh, gosh. But what if? How awkward. Let us pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, God. God, I thank you. God, number one is I thank you for the church, God, because we don't have to do life alone. God, thank you for filling our life with so many people of like faith. God, that when we have a challenge, we have somebody to lean on. God, that when we have a need for prayer, God, that there's somebody to pray for us. God, thank you. Thank you for letting us be a part of the church, your people. And God, today I want to thank you for the Bible. God, this crazy little book that you would save for thousands of years, that today, right now, we can read it and we can know what your thoughts are. God, that's crazy. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know what you think. Thank you, God, for saving for us the important things you need us to know. And God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that today your Holy Spirit is in this place. God, you're here. And you want to take those two things, your people and your word, and you want us to get together and leave this place with your will. So God, today I pray that we leave this place and we would live a life that looks like the life of Jesus. So God, change us from the inside to the outside. God, cause us to know you in a bigger, in a better way. And God, let us know how we fit into that bigger, better way. God, tonight, hey, this is your night. God, tonight, this is your gig. God, tonight, I pray that your word would get in us as we get into you. So, Father, we give you this time and our attention. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody in the house said, amen and amen. All right. We've been talking about, this thing called identity, like the question, who am I? Who am I? And that's actually a pretty important question. And I know a great man once said that that he was looking at the man in the mirror, because he wanted to change his ways. And I think sometimes if you know who you are, if you know who God created you to be, then you know exactly where God wants to take you, right? Now, the challenge is like that's a really hard question, right? Like that's like such a deep question, like, who are you? You know, and a lot of times, you know, people get stuck in that question. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but identity is a big issue over the past, like, 5 years. And there's been a lot of talk and a lot of yelling, a lot of arguing about that word, that little I word called identity. And it's one of the biggest things, one of the biggest questions anybody will ever ask you. One of the biggest questions you'll ever answer is, who are you? Because a lot of times, who you are determines what you do. Like how you view yourself determines what you do, where you go, you know, who you associate with, right? I mean, because of my last name, Villanueva, that determines which family reunion I go to. Like, because I'm not going to your family reunion because I'm not related to you, right? It determines the course of my future. So the really important thing is to figure out who the heck you are. Now, the challenge is sometimes we hear so many different ideas and voices, and it can get kind of confusing as to who we will be this week, you know, about how you feel today or what decisions you'll make. And I guess we all go back to, like, I mean, because we're in church, right? We're talking about Jesus. But it all goes down to what Jesus said about you, right? Ephesians 2:10, we talked about it last week. And God says that you're his workmanship. I like the way maybe your Bible says, maybe your Bible says that you are God's masterpiece, right? That's what the NLT says. It says you're God's masterpiece in Ephesians 2:10. And that word literally, because like the Bible is in English because it was originally written in Greek, but that's not a big deal. Originally, that word means poem. Like God thought about something beautiful and all of a sudden he's like, whoa, there you are, right? Because you are literally God's masterpiece. Like, in Psalm 139, the Bible says that God formed you and he shaped you and he crafted you. Just like somebody that crafts a work of art. Like, God made you on purpose. Like, you're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not a whoops. You weren't just a surprise. Like, maybe you've heard before. Like maybe you were a surprise to somebody, but you weren't a surprise to Jesus, right? Like you can know that. Like you're here on purpose. Where you are on purpose, because God does things on purpose. Like God. Look. I don't know what you've heard, but God don't say whoops. Like that is probably one of the few words in God's vocabulary. God can do anything, except makes a whoopsie. That's the one thing God don't do, is whoopsies. Because you ain't no whoopsie. You're a work of art. You're a masterpiece. I love it. You are fearfully, wonderfully. You're full of wonder. Full of wonder. That's what we talked about a little bit. We talked about last week, right? And it's really good because, see, like, okay, if you go that route, then you know exactly who you are. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a work of art. What happens is, like, if you begin to get information from other sources, then you begin to get a little jacked up. And that's what happens all the time. Like, we look to other people or other ways to kind of show us the way we ought to go, right? Did anybody ever see A Little Mermaid? I mean, since we're talking having a homecoming next week, right? No, seriously, have you guys seen The Little Mermaid? Right? It's like, it's literally one. Now, A, don't judge me, but it's literally one of my favorite Disney movies ever. I don't even know why. I fully recognize I'm a dude, but this is where you just don't get to judge me today, okay? Because we're being honest. It's one of my favorite. Like that, Lion King's pretty tight too. Mufasa. Like that's pretty tight. It's like super sad though. Like, I don't know why all Disney movies gotta be sad, but like literally that's one of my favorites. Wall-E's pretty fresh too. I just relate with Wall-E. I don't care. Wall-E is good. It's like top five. Seriously, top five. Wall-E. But Little Mermaid is one of my favorite. And I just don't know why. It's a good one. Peach Dragon, not so much. But whatever. So, but there's this one moment where Ariel is where she's like getting introduced to all these above world things, right? And she has this whole collection, and she finds this unique instrument of wonder called the Dinglehopper. Remember that? You remember the Dinglehopper? And that dumb seagull says, "That's a Dinglehopper," and she's like, "Oh yeah." And then eventually she's there in front of one of the most handsomest dudes ever, not the old guy, the young guy, and she sees the Dinglehopper. And what she do? She starts hopping the dingle, I guess, whatever. She starts dingling the hopper, whatever the case. She starts, whatever, whatever. She starts working it, right? So she's like just doing her thing, and they're like looking at her super weird. Why? Because it's a fork. It's a fork. Like, what's wrong with you, mermaid? It's like, you don't have legs. You have a brain. You don't have legs. It's a fork. But she don't know, right? That's the thing. She don't know it's not a fork. And the information she's working with for the fork is erroneous. And that's a good word. Use that on your next report. Erroneous. It means it's wrong. It means it's wrong, people, okay? Dictionaryapp.com, do it. No, but what happened is she found something she don't know nothing about, and she gets bad information, and she starts using it incorrectly. And see, a lot of times is we end up taking information from the seagull when you should be getting it from somebody that actually knows what they're talking about, right? Because the whole thing with the pipe and you remember, like, he's like blowing it, and then the schmutz comes out. That's a Yiddish word for grunge. But this seagull's out just spewing bad information, and she looks kind of silly using it. And I don't know, have any of you ladies? I've never been tempted with this, but have any of you? Let's be real here. Have you ever been tempted to try to comb your hair with a fork? Yeah. Comb your fade with a fork. How'd that work for you? Yeah. Terrible. Don't believe me. Try it at home tonight. Just don't be mad when you come to homecoming with a big old patch missing out your head, right? Yeah, and I'm just shaving your head because you just jacked your hair up. But it don't work. Try it. Just because it's in the cartoons doesn't mean it's right, okay? The laws of physics are different, especially the laws of hair physics. But it doesn't work. It's a misapplication of a perfectly fine utensil. That was a good statement. You should write that down or send it to yourself in a text. And what happens is we in our lives can get so much information that we end up misapplying that information to our lives, so we end up jacking ourselves up, and we end up looking at ourselves the wrong way. We end up looking at the people around us the wrong way. We end up looking at our situations the wrong way, all because we got bad information from a seagull. You see, if you really want to know who you are, what you're supposed to do with life, who am I, where am I going, then you really got to be careful about gathering too much information. You guys have heard of TMI, right? This is like an old acronym. It's an old set of letters, the TMI. People, and even though it's old and we know about TMI, we still give too much TMI. Like if you have that one family member that has to announce whenever they have to get up and go to the bathroom, go into the bathroom! A TMI. Like, you don't need to announce your ones and twos. Right? Or maybe that one person that subtweets or posts a little too much on their Insta snap face link. Right? A little too much information there. Because your information is all out there. Right? So we know that we know this process of TMI, but what happens is, a lot of times in our lives, what happens is, especially now, like we end up getting too many voices speaking into our life. And one of the most powerful words any of us in this place can learn, one of the most powerful words you can ever know, is the word no. No. And no. And no. And no. And no. No. Because what happens is, put almost anything into Google, and you can look at the little number. In like 0.000.123 seconds, you have 15 million results. Really? You know you don't go past the first page on Google. And if you do, you're in trouble. Like literally, maybe once every 10 times the third page, but never any further. The fourth page has never been clicked on in the entire history of Google. It is just too much information for one person. See, the problem is people know too much useless information now in these days, right? Everybody knows too much stuff that doesn't matter. And the problem is your brain can only hold so much information. Like if I ask you tomorrow, what did Pastor Richard preach on? What's he going to say? What's he going to say? Right? Thank you, the mermaid. I'm already giving you too much information. Mermaid and Google, I like it. Because you're remembering the important things here. Oh, the spiritual principles. We drown in so much information that doesn't matter. So what happens is in our lives, so many people speak to us, whether it's our friends, whether it's people that sit across from us in school. Maybe it's the enemy. It's the world. It's this magazine and that advertisement, and it's this thing that wants to sell us that one thing, and the picture of these of the way these beautiful people look like on clothing advertisements, and then you have this agenda and that agenda, and Pastor Richard's agenda and the service agenda, all talking to you, and it's almost kind of like, who do I listen to? I know with me. Like, when two or three people start talking to me, it's just like, I can't hear any of you. It's just like Charlie Brown, womp, 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 womp. Because my brain cannot handle it. Pastor Richard was not designed to multitask. I can barely get one thing done at a time. Right? Thank you for all my dusty road brain people in the house. For all you multitaskers, may the Lord be with you. And also with you. That's what you're supposed to say. But when it comes to who you are, everybody wants to tell you something. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. And if you don't know how to say no and no, 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 to all those other voices that don't matter, then it creates a confusion inside of you. Because your feelings say one thing, and then your body says another thing. And then Pastor Richard tell you one thing, and then you go home, and your little brother is telling you something completely different. And it's the information overload where you've got to quiet yourself and listen to the voices that matter, right? You got to be able to listen to the voices that matter and say no to the voices that don't matter. You got to practice saying no. There's this dude in the Bible in Genesis 35, way over in the left-hand side of the Bible, and this guy named Jacob. Now, Jacob, since we're being honest here, is one of the guys in the Bible I like the least, right? Can I be real here? I don't like Jacob. I may like him and President Coin about the same, okay? But the problem is, God really likes Jacob. So Pastor Richard's ideas don't really matter here. God really likes Jacob. And Jacob's got problems, right? He's just like me and you. Jacob's got issues and problems. And he has a lying problem, right? Those liars. Mm-mm, don't get him near me. But Jacob's problem is a liar. It's so much so, and I think probably part of it is because his mom's voice. His mom named him Jacob. Do you know what the word Jacob means? Liar. If your name is Jacob, I'm sorry. Today's the day of rude awakening. I'm sure maybe it means something else. But dang, I just jacked a bunch of people's lives up here today. I apologize, okay? I can pray for you afterwards. And we'll start using your middle name, okay? Francis Antoine. But Jacob's name in Hebrew, not in English. I don't know what he means in English. But in Hebrew, it means liar. So what happened? Brother grew up to be a liar. So he meets God, right? Like literally, he meets God, and God kicks his butt. Kind of a neat story. You should read it for yourself. And God basically just puts him in like a full Nelson and tears him apart, right? Like, not literally, because that'd be gross, but basically him and God in a wrestling match. And Jacob does pretty good. He loses, but he pretty much does pretty good. So what does God do, right? God says, Jacob, look, man, you kind of got a raw deal with this name thing, and you really lived up to it, but I'm going to change your name. He says, Jacob, I'm going to change your identity. I'm going to change the way you do things. So God touches his life, and he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a new name, Israel. That's your name, Israel. Israel now. He says, I'm going to give you your name, Israel. Now, the crazy thing is, okay, Jacob means liar in Hebrew, not in English or Spanish or whatever. I don't know. But Israel, that name means God's prince. Upgrade. Or it means winner. And that's pretty tight to go from liar to winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Jacob's name got changed, brother, now known as Israel. Winner. You guys aren't. There's a spirit of unity in the house, I can tell. But the Bible says in Genesis 35:9, it says Jacob. Now, it's interesting. It says in Genesis 35:9-11 is interesting because it says, now Jacob returned to Padawan, someplace. And it says, now God appeared to him again at Bethel. So God shows up and talks to Jacob again. Wait a minute. Who are you talking to? Who is God talking to here? What does the Bible say? God is talking to Jacob. But wait a minute. I thought that dude got a name change. Thank you. Deserve a hand clap there. And the slow clap is a nice touch for you guys. But how are you going to correct that? How are you going to correct the Bible, though? I'm going to take that. We got to take that clap back. It says, now Jacob returned to Padam Aram. That's cool. And God appeared to him again at Bethel. Now God blessed him and said, your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer. God had to remind him because the voices came back and said, Jacob, you're not Israel. You're still a liar. He had too many voices in his ear, and he didn't take the name that God gave him. He says, Jacob, your name is Israel. So God renamed him Israel. Again, God had to give him this name. And God said, look, you may not realize who this is coming from, but this is coming from El Shaddai. That means God Almighty. He says, look, bro, you are blessed. Be fruitful and multiply. You are going to be a great nation. That's why you're a prince. Even many nations. He says, kings are going to be in your bloodline, man. You are a prince. You're a winner, so stop acting like a liar. Too many voices. Jacking up his headspace. It was too many voices that even after God told him he's blessed, he went back to living cursed. That's kind of crazy. You can't get caught up in the information other people give you. You've got to say no and only listen to what God tells you. You see, If you leave this place and you're going to go back home and you're going to go to school tomorrow and the whole thing, right? And you're going to live a certain way. Like, if you have tests this week, you're going to do your tests a certain way. You got homework, you're going to make decisions whether or not you're going to do your homework. Maybe you got a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you're going to act a certain way with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Your mom's going to get upset with you because you didn't do something you were supposed to do. It's going to happen, don't worry. No shame, no guilt. But it's going to happen, and you're going to react a certain way when you get in trouble. And depending on what kind of person you think you are depends on how you're going to act. Whether you're going to punch a hole in a wall, whether you're going to, you know, go a little too far, how you're going to treat the substitute teachers that the Lord puts in front of you, not the devil, the Lord. Puts in front of you. You're going to treat them a certain way, and you're going to either treat them like you're a Jacob, or you're going to treat them like you're an Israel. Right? So how are you going to act? What? Like if you had one of those like Bible names, those crazy Bible names that described who you are, what would your crazy Bible name be? Now, you don't got to tell me, don't shout it out, but think about it. Just introvert for a minute and think about it. What would my Bible name be? Because you know how you do those like quizzes, like which person from the Suicide Squad are you, whatever, you know. Which Bible name would you have? You know, would it be more like liar, or would it be more like Israel? What would that name be that describes you? Because you can't get caught up in all the other things that people say, this world says. You can't get caught up in the way that your feelings tell you, I hate myself, I'm so stupid. Like some of us, that's the name we answer to, is stupid. But you can't get caught up in that TMI and all that information that's trying to mess you up. And see, I found out that people will call you what you answer to. Right? Like if you answer to that name, that they will continue to call you that name. So what names are you answering to? Right? What things do people call you that you accept, that you claim as your own? Now in the Bible, in the Bible, God's people, well, their country got captured, right? So the nations that captured them, they began to take them as slaves. And one of the things that they would do is when a country captured somebody else, like God's people, they would change their name. They give them a slave name, right? That's what they would do. And they would name them after their gods. Like, happened to Joseph. If you know the Bible, it happened to a dude named Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's what happened, is they would be slaves and they would give them different names. And the name stuck unless they didn't answer to it. Like Joseph, that was his birth name. They gave the Egyptians that he was a slave to, they gave him a different name, but Joseph never answered to it. So for the rest of his life, he was known as Joseph, because he didn't answer the name that the world gave him. Other people, though, their names changed because they answered to the trash that they called them. And the problem is this, is that sometimes in our lives, people tell us stuff long enough that we begin to answer to it. Stupid, worthless, easy, idiot, right? And this world's trying to make you a slave, and it wants to rename you. But the world can't rename you if you don't answer to it. See, if you ignore the voice and you refuse to answer to the world's labels it puts on you, well, then you win. You win. Because, see, God's all about names. Kind of crazy, right? I mean, because Jesus is the name above every name, right? So that must mean names are pretty important. If Jesus got the greatest name, hey. And then the crazy thing is, get this. This is crazy. This is absolutely wild. Is that Jesus is the name above every name, right? Jesus Christ. And Jesus shares that name that's above every name with you. Because if you believe in Jesus, what are you? Thank you. Another slow clap, please. If you believe in Jesus, God gives you this new name, Christian. You see how a Christian. That means that you have a new name that says who you belong to, the name above every other name. So I don't know why we would answer to any other thing less than the name that God has given us as a Christian. There's this verse in Acts, and it's crazy because it tells you the first time the word Christian ever showed up on the scene. And then in Acts 16:3, did I say it right? No! Acts 11:26, pretty good, pretty close, not really. But in Acts 11:26, the Bible says that this is the first time anybody was ever called a Christian. It says, now Barnabas, brother Barnabas, went on to a place called Tarsus, and he began looking for this dude named Saul. And then as they found him, and they brought him back to this city named Antioch. Okay, that's a lot of traveling there. They were using the metro. And it says, now both of them stayed at that city for a year, doing stuff. And in that city, it was the first time the believers were called Christians. And it stuck. 2,000 years later, it's still pretty sticky, right? Christians. You see, they called him that name because they acted like Jesus. They looked like Jesus. They're like, hey, you remind me of somebody. Tall Jewish dude, I don't know, made tables. He did miracles. Remind me of somebody. They had a really nice beard, long hair, kind of like a hippie. Jesus, that's right, Jesus Christ. You remind me of Jesus Christ. I'm going to call you a Christian. You remind me so much of Jesus Christ, I'm going to call you a Christian. Christians, hey, Christian, all you little Christians running around. Christians, hey, Christians. I love it. The Christian. How do you know? He acts like Jesus. Really? Is that why you call him? I was wondering why you call him Christian. Yeah, he acts like Jesus Christ. I figured we just call him Christians. Sounds like it'll stick. I think I'm onto something here. Christians. So, does the name stick with you? Are you? If people say, you remind me of some Middle Eastern man with a long hair, crucified Christians. You remind me. Like, is that how they would? Because if it's not, it should. That you wear the name well. That's the name we should be answering to. Is the name of Jesus Christ. So say no to all these voices that are attacking you, that want to define you, and just quiet it down to that one voice that wants to remind you that you're not a Jacob, you're an Israel. You're not a Jacob. You're not a liar. You are a prince. You are royalty. You are the one who fights and wins. You're not the one who quits or backs down. You're not the one who cheats or steals. You're not the one who gives yourself away to people that don't care for you. No, you're the one that knows your value because you are a Christian. That's the name you answer to. You're not a slave. You're not stuck. You're not beat down. But you're the one. You're the one that Jesus Christ says, hey, that's my kid. They look like me and I look like them. They live their life like the way I live my life. And if they happen to remind you of somebody, that's because they do. They remind you of me, Jesus. Not me, Pastor Richard, because I know exactly who I am. But that's who they remind the people around you of. Who are you? Easy. We call a fork, and a dingle hopper is just going to rip your hair out. So quiet the voices that want to come in, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were made as his workmanship, his masterpiece, his poem. So let's act like it. Let's stop answering to the names this world wants to enslave us to. So today, maybe there's somebody in this place that you need to look at yourself and start checking if you've accepted a name that doesn't belong to you. Maybe in this place you need to file for a name change. You need a spiritual name change. And if your name is Jacob, you're okay. You're all right, Jacob. All right, that's a good name. That's a good name in English. Just don't ever go to Jerusalem because they'll be like, I know that story. I know that story. I ain't going to loan him $20. Hey, everybody, stand up real quick. I got 3 questions for you guys. Everybody, stand up. Go ahead and find your people. Go ahead and find your people. You got 6, 7, 8 people. No more than 8. If you have more than 8, then Mark's going to drop kick you, and that'll suck. You know, just headlock you. I'm going to have my son Carter tackle you next week. That's what'll happen. You don't want to mess with Carter. You make a dude bleed. No more than 8 people. 6, 7, 8. No more than 8 people. Go ahead, find your people. Grab a piece of carpet. Youth leaders, just get a group of teenagers. Don't ask them if they want to be in your group. You just tell them, you're with me. You're with me. We got about 10, maybe 15 minutes if you guys are good. Come on, grab a seat.